What's up, guys? Welcome to episode number 3 of the 25 AI podcast. We are excited this afternoon. We're going to talk about something a little bit different than what we normally have the past couple episodes. I mean, we're talking about hunting, don't get us wrong, but we're talking more about the impact of hunting for the state of Alabama, far as the financial impact and how it helps the state. And we're kind of breaking down numbers that are a little bit harder to find. And these are, and a lot of these numbers aren't exact numbers that I'm going to give you, but I will disclaimer that before we reveal that information, whether or not this is estimated or if it is factual numbers. But I'm your host, Cade White, and I got Zach Gibbs, that is about to join us here in just a second. But first, we want to get this thing rolling with thanking our supporters of our podcast. And first off is Alabama Archery Academy. Alabama Archery Academy is your premier South Alabama Hoyt and Matthews dealers, also providing archery lessons from beginner to national championship levels. Check them out on Facebook at Alabama Archery Academy. Black Eagle Arrows. Black Eagle Arrows provides superior arrow technology. From the tournament trail to the hunting woods, Black Eagle Arrows have you. Threads Custom Bowstrings. Threads Custom Bowstrings is a family-owned and operated company, providing the fastest turnaround in the industry with their pre-stretched bowstrings. If you are in the market for a new set of strings, call Threads Custom Bowstrings. Tell them we sent you. And last but not least, Native Sense. Native Sense is a truly Alabama-owned and farmed deer urine scent company. 100% natural, collected for hunters. Native Sense. We get results. All right, guys, so I'm excited about getting into this episode. We have you just heard that was Zach turning on his camera. We're about to get rolling with this thing. Zach turned on his mic.
We'll have cameras.
That was Zach turning on his mic. And we're about to get this thing started, and we're going to talk about the revenue generated from hunting and how good it is for the state of Alabama.
Hey, talking about revenue, Mr. Beast just uploaded a video where it's last to leave pool of money wins $20,000.
I wish we were Mr. Beast friends.
Yeah.
I think I would dominate in 90% of those challenges. You hear that, Mr. Beast? If you're listening, we challenge you to challenge us to one of those challenges.
That's a good challenge.
See what happens when you invite a couple Alabama boys up to compete with you.
Rednecks are too stubborn to lose.
Yeah. We will literally die before we lose one of those type of challenges.
You might.
Probably not. But anyway, we're about to get this thing rolling. Welcome to the 25 Feet High podcast.
Dear Lord, I'm so grateful for the Lord allowing me to harvest this beautiful bird.
I got a freaking giant bass.
25 feet high, baby. This is awesome.
Okay, guys. So this information I gathered off of an article off of AL.com. This article was originally written on October the 25th, 2018, but it was updated January the 13th, 2019. This article was wrote by Frank Sargent. If I'm mispronouncing that, I'm sorry, Mr. Frank. I'm not the best at pronunciating names.
I'm pretty sure you got his first name right.
Yeah, his first name's right. And he's of the Huntsville Times. So I just want to make sure we source this. If you Google how much money the state of Alabama makes from hunting, this is one of the first articles that pop up. So we kind of use his as a base, and then I kind of spent a lot of time doing math and broke it down from there.
A couple days worth, and it's simple addition and division.
So to prove how much I love y'all guys, I absolutely hate math. So I spent a lot of time breaking down this to make sure it was as right as I could get it, and then got Zach to read over it. Zach's supposedly an engineering student. We've yet to see proof of that. But
I'm working on it.
So if anything's wrong, we apologize because our math skills are not the best. We did go to Alabama schools, and Zach, I went to Alabama schools, and Zach went to Florida schools.
I did go to Alabama for like first grade.
Yeah. I bet you learned more in first grade in Alabama than you ever did at the high school you went to.
I learned more off of YouTube than I ever learned from college.
Same. But so we're going to get rolling with this. And some of these numbers really surprised me. Like, I would have never thought about this being as big as a business that actually, like, I'm in this business and I understand that there's a lot of money that's in this business, but I never would have thought it would have got broke down in this particular way. This number of how much money the state made, and it makes sense to me, or not necessarily state made, but the state generated, because it got diversified into a bunch of different areas. So, the first thing, the total revenue for hunting in the state of Alabama in 2018-2019, according to this article, is $1.8 billion. That's with a B, as in bat.
As in billion.
As in billion. $1.8 billion. That is actually lower than it was previous years.
So we need to get more people into hunting.
Yes, that's a fact. $1.8 billion. A few years ago, it went over $2 billion. Let me see. It went over $2 billion. We're going to try to break it down a little bit for more. And these are the two, and these two are numbers are in the article. $375 million of that was in hunting equipment, such as you know, bows, and I assume even some tractor supplies and stuff like that was included.
Guns, ammo, trail cams, corn, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, and that's $375 million. So that's going to include just all your hunting equipment, stuff you buy to go hunting. The next big number is $405 million was spent on food, travel, fuel, and lodging. Now, a lot of that's going to be your out-of-state hunters, and you'll understand here briefly if you don't know this already, but Alabama does really well with attracting out-of-state hunters.
I don't understand it, but, I mean, they do.
Yeah, and the vast majority, from what I understand, this wasn't necessarily defined in the article, but the vast majority of those out-of-state hunters are hunting in the Black Belt section.
That makes sense.
The Black Belt section, if you're not from Alabama and you don't know this, the Black Belt section is the highest section of Alabama that creates the most agriculture. Because of it's got more fertile soil.
It extends, if I remember correctly, it extends a little bit into Georgia, through Mississippi, maybe a little bit of Louisiana and Tennessee. Like, the Black Belt's not just in Alabama, but, yeah, Alabama's one of the states.
Yeah, and the Black Belt produces the biggest bucks of the state of Alabama.
Without a doubt.
Per capita. Yeah, I mean, not necessarily per capita. I don't know if that's the right word, but more generally, it creates more Boone and Crockett scoreable bucks than any other part of the...
Yes, we have those in Alabama.
Yeah. Actually, you know, as of a few years ago, Alabama was like number 8 in this, all the states to create or breeding and having the harvest of Boone and Crockett deer.
I didn't know that. That's pretty crazy, honestly.
Alabama is a great deer hunting state. It's just not nationally recognized like your Illinois, your
Iowa,
Indiana, Kentucky, Nebraska, those type of states. Those are the type of states that edge Alabama out.
Without a doubt. I mean, that Iowa, you got to draw a permit and you're almost, I wouldn't say guaranteed, but if you draw a permit in Iowa, you're going to kill a good deer.
Yeah, I mean, your chances of killing a...
Your chance of killing a Boone and Crockett go way up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a great uncle that had at one time back in the, I think it was the early 60s or something like that, he had the state record for a short period of time at like 162 inches. I may be incorrect on that, but I've seen the deer. I've seen the mount. Freaking huge. It was killed in the black belt years ago. But yeah, most of that is spent through the black belt. That's $405 million for food, travel, fuel, and lodging.
Also, I'd imagine that a lot of the out-of-state hunters look at the limits in Alabama and think, man, I'm going to do really good in Alabama, because there's not a whole lot of places you can go where you can kill 3 bucks and on private land, at least, a doe a day all year. You could theoretically kill like 80 does every year if you are that lucky.
Yeah, if you wanted to. It's a little extreme, in my opinion.
It is, but it's what the law says.
Yeah, yeah. I think that may be something we have to talk about later on, because I think the state of Alabama is really wanting to knock down the number of does you can kill a year. I just don't think
that. On public land, I mean, they have bagged the limit. I think in at least like open permit public land, like national forest and whatnot, up until like last year, I think, or this year. I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure on open permit public land, such as a national forest, you could kill a doe a day. And then as of recently or nearing the future, you're only allowed to kill 5, which is still a huge number. I mean, I imagine that's one of the draws of Alabama, is just the sheer number of deer you can kill.
Yeah, I mean, if you can, if you hunt and you need more than 5 does and 3 bucks a year for meat, I mean, that's a lot of meat. That can feed quite a few people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've never tagged out in Alabama when it comes to bugs. That is one of my goals this year. I've always wanted to do it. I'm going to try my best to do it, but I've killed 2 in a year, and that's the best I've ever done.
Does taste pretty good, though.
Yeah. That's my goal this year, is to try to tag out. My goal is to tag out of bugs during bow season or before December, and then shoot a few does in December. That's my goal.
That'd be one heck of a season for around here.
Yeah. It's going to take the good Lord for me to be able to do that, pull that off. But that, you got to set your goals pretty high, you know. But moving on from that, we're about to go into what is what I call a license breakdown, and talk about how much money is made by license and non-resident and resident. First of all, there was 44,000 non-resident license purchased last year. That's a couple.
I would like to, I mean, that's a lot of people coming in. I mean, I'd imagine that's a high number for anywhere, but I would like to see some stats from other states, like, eventually.
Yeah, and
just to kind of compare.
And if I had to guess, of course, this isn't information that you can pull, or it's at least information I look for and could not find. I'm figuring a vast majority of these hunters are from the state of Florida.
Or at least live near Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, I'd imagine, like, what I do, obviously, is I live right next to the state line, and I've most of my hunting's done in Alabama. So, it's just easier for me to, there's a lot to do in Alabama, a lot of hunting and my lease and everything. So, I'd imagine there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah, and we do have a fair amount of public land access.
Oh, that's another thing I wanted to correct that I didn't get into. I don't think I got into it in the last podcast, but I don't really remember.
Yeah, you want to correct something from episode number one.
Yeah, episode number one. I said there was probably more public land than leases, but I know that for a fact that's wrong. And I think the point that I was trying to make is there's a lot of access or a lot of opportunities to hunt public land in Alabama, and a lot more than you would expect being a southern state. And I think that's really cool. That's pretty much kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah, like our local. So from where we live in South Alabama, I live in Escambia County, Alabama. We hunt predominantly in Escambia County, Alabama, even Zach. Some parts of the Conecuh is obviously in the Conecuh County. But I imagine there's a lot of those hunters from the Pensacola area.
Yeah, that probably come up.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of available hunting. And just around us, we have the Conecuh, which is 86-something thousand acres. I don't know the exact number, but it's 86-something. And then we have the Perdido WMA. I think it's the WMA.
Yeah, it's a smaller WMA.
Yeah, I think it's only a few thousand acres big.
I'm not sure on the numbers of that. And then we got the Delta.
Yeah,
the Delta is a huge, I mean, there's a ton of people that hunt that. It's a huge area of land that's public land.
Yeah, and I have a friend of mine that does a lot of hunting and stuff in the Delta that we're liable to get on here for a future podcast. But what's cool about the Delta, and I know I'm getting off the subject, but what's cool about the Delta is you know that the Delta has the most diversity of species of animals, counting marine fish and life and above on ground wildlife than any other place in the North America.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's right not too far from our back door.
Yeah, you know? It's like hour drive maybe.
Yeah, we do. We've done some fishing, and we got some fishing videos on that on our YouTube channel. But I've never hunted it.
My dad used to hunt it a lot, and I'd really love to go out there. I might actually be making at least one trip out there this year, but I'm not too sure on that because I know I've got a couple of buddies who do some hunting out there.
And I imagine since the Delta is really close to the state of Mississippi, we pull some Mississippi hunters to hunt it. Those guys that live around the Loosedale type area, stuff like that, that's not too far. Now, Mississippi has some awesome hunting.
Oh, yeah.
But Alabama's a little bit more affordable, I believe, when it comes to the sense of public land. Don't quote me on that. I'm not exactly sure, but Alabama has a lot of deer.
And one thing about, like, the Mississippi Delta area, most of that is private land, so I'd imagine there's a lot of people who can't get access to private land. They can't afford a lease, or they don't want to get in a lease or whatever, that probably come over to Alabama because there's just probably a little bit more public to hunt around there.
Yeah, and I have no idea how many acres the Delta is. I have never looked into that, but I'd imagine it's I'd imagine it's bigger than the Conecuh.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I don't know that. If we can pull that up, if we can find that before we end this podcast, we'll kind of bring it back up. But moving on from that, so breaking down the non-residence license, and real quick, sorry, if you hear any loud grunting or anything, I have my dog, in here with me, and she's about a 120-pound American Bulldog, so she makes a lot of noise. But, so, non-residents hunting, the annual cost is $320.30 for a year, okay? A 10-day license for non-resident state of Alabama is $197.85. And a 3-day license is $139.60. So what I did here is I kind of added all of these up and then averaged them to try to come up with a estimated money intake for non-resident hunters and licensing purchases. So if you do 44,000 times the annual fee of $320.30, that is $14,930,200. 44,000 times the 10-day fee of $197.85 comes out to $8,705.40. And a 44,000 times a 3-day fee of $139.60 is $6,142,400. So if you add all of those up together and divide it by 3 to get to create an average, that comes out to $9,926,000 exactly. So the number, if anything, in my mind that I can understand, it would be higher than that. But it should not be any lower, because I'd imagine the majority of those guys live in bordering states and purchase a annual license so they can hunt all year. Wouldn't you assume that to be correct, Zach? That most of those guys are buying the annual license of all year?
I'd imagine it's mostly like an annual license just for people like me. I feel like that's where the majority of that comes from.
Yeah, so I think that $9,926,000 is a very, very lightweight number when it comes to what it actually may be. But that is just a good solid estimate if you want to kind of understand where money comes from for the state, because they don't release this information fully. And I hope we don't get in trouble for doing the math, but this is all public knowledge and we just broke it down and did the math, or I did the math. Zach was kind of asleep at the wheel on this one.
Sorry if I'm not talking too much. I'm looking up. There's 3 WMAs in the Delta. There's Upper Delta Wildlife Management Area. There's Mobile Tensaw Delta. And then there is it's WL Holland. I'm going to try to add all that stuff up.
So you're looking at a safe estimate is $9,926,000 for non-resident hunters for just licensing. All right, and that's not counting the additional fee to hunt public land, so it could be even greater. But this is just my easy estimate to kind of get a better sense of how much money is being brought to the state by hunting. All right, so on this article, based off of this article, they did not give an exact number of hunting license purchased from residents. I tried to find that information, but it just wasn't of it. And it may be out there, but I just could not find it. I spent an hour on the internet trying to find the amount of hunters that bought it. This is the closest thing that I could find to an exact approximate amount. And it says, based off this article, there's 3.8% of Alabama residents that purchased a hunting license last year. Based off of a Google search that I performed, the Alabama population of 2018 was 4.888 million. 3.8% of 4.888 million is 185,744. So that means, not counting, we're not counting kids, and you don't have to buy a license if you're over the age of 65. So that's not the total amount of hunters, but that's just the amount of hunters that purchased the hunting license. So this is where we start getting into, this is a lot of these resident hunter licenses is based off of just simple math of trying to get a close estimate. None of these dollar amounts are exact on this. Did you figure it out, Zach?
Yeah, I got. So the three WMAs on the Delta total up to 142,116 acres, roughly.
Okay.
And I think the Upper Delta has like three different tracks. So there's a lot there.
Yeah. All right. So that's bigger than the Conecuh. So
by 60,000.
Yeah. By quite a bit.
50,000.
All right. So getting back to it, on breaking down these numbers, these numbers are not exact, but so 3.8% of the Alabama population of 2018 is 185,744 hunters. Like I said, that is not counting under the age of 16. That is not counting over the age of 65. So, to break this down even further, I went to the harvest records of 2018-2019 season. So, the total amount of deer harvested in the state of Alabama, if you listen to our first podcast, you already know this, was 84,072 deer. And to try to understand the licensing purchases a little bit more, I tried to come up with a percentage of how many public land deer were killed to try to figure out how much of the percentage of that 185,744 were killed off of public land, which changes licensing costs. So public land, there was 4,412 deer killed off of public land last year. And on unknown land, 38. Unknown land, 38. So to give it a more benefit of the doubt, I added the unknown land to the public land. And that brings out the total is 4,450 deer killed on the public land. So if you find the percentage of what 4,450 is into 84,072, that ends up being 18.89%, rounded it up to 19%. And 19% of, obviously 19% minus 100% of hunters is 81%. That math correct, Zach?
I think so.
You think so? Okay. So for 81% of private land hunters, that ends up being 150,452 times the $27.10 is the amount of money I pulled off of my own hunting license record, how much I paid to hunt last year for just my normal hunting license, for just the residential all game, times that 150,452 is 4 million How do you say numbers? Yeah,
how do you say numbers? 4,077,249.20
Yeah, sorry guys, I had a brain malfunction there, but
It happens.
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of numbers here, so and I really think I'm a little bit dyslexic, but I've never checked myself, if that makes sense. All right, so that's 4,077,249.20 for private land licensing. And obviously this is speculation. Public land, there was around 35,292 people that bought the public land license based off of the way I did this math. And so to buy a residence license for public land, you have to buy the $27.10 one-year residential all-game license plus an $18 public land fee, which is for WMAs, National Forest, any open permit public land. And that comes out to $1,591,669.20.
Your dog is laying on my foot, by the way.
She's a good girl.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings the total rough estimate for Alabama residents to $5,668,918.40. So if you add in the cost of hunting, the cost of fuel, and everything, licensing, everything, that ends up being the way we did this math. Some numbers were for certain off of the article. Some numbers were not, by what I did based off of just general math and breaking everything down. Brings out to $1,004,405,081.60 that are left unaccountable off of the general math. And that, not necessarily unaccountable, but a lot of that is going to be your lease land, paying for your lease land, and other things to that nature. I wish I could have figured out more information that was exact, but that's pretty much what it ends up being that's unaccountable. And Zach's got a pretty fun fact about hunting that he's going to, about this financial thing that he's going to share with y'all.
So based on all the cost, based on the fact that the hunting industry brings in $1.8 billion per year, we figured out, well, $1.8 billion, there's 84,000 deer reported killed. So based on that, doing a little math, that averages out to $21,410 per deer.
Per deer, $21,000 per deer.
So I started thinking, you know, that's a lot of money for one animal. So what's the price per pound of deer meat? And I'm assuming, which I don't have exact numbers, but at least for us and our average plus a little bit based on, because, you know, deer in the Black Belt and other areas, deer up north probably weigh a little bit more, but I'm assuming that the average weight of a deer is around 130 pounds.
In the state of Alabama.
In Alabama, yeah. So if that's true, then deer meat costs roughly $165 per pound.
That's insane.
Like, Wagyu beef is like $30 a pound, something like that. $20. A lobster's like $20 a pound.
White-tailed deer meat is the most expensive meat on the planet.
I mean, maybe elk.
Maybe. Okay, let's recap. It is the most expensive meat.
In Alabama. Probably in all of the South.
Yeah, probably this side of the Mississippi.
Probably.
But that's just a pretty cool, fun little fact. That's insane that it breaks down to just $21,410.22 per deer killed in the state of Alabama.
Yeah. So, going on the fun fact kind of thing, a couple other fun facts are Alabama is the 7th in the nation for hunting expenditures, which I'm assuming that just means we're 7th in the nation for hunting opportunities, outdoors activities maybe. I mean, 7th in the nation out of 50 states, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that goes back to us being around number 8 for producing the higher amount of deer. I mean, the Boone and Crockett, bigger deer.
And also, some of the money generated for conservation and stuff like that is brought from the Pittman-Robertson Act, which I wish I could remember. I've heard a lot about it, but I wish I could remember when it was instated. I don't remember that. But the Pittman-Robertson Act is basically a tax from, I want to say it's from the manufacturer, where all firearms, ammo, all types of hunting equipment is taxed, and every dollar of that, or every whatever that percentage is, it all goes to Washington, that tax, and then Washington crunches those numbers, puts it all in one pot, and every dollar of hunting license sales per state, they take, the federal government takes, I'm stumbling across my words. So, Washington takes every dollar of license sales and then returns to the state $3 of federal money for every dollar.
Yeah, and I looked it up, and the Pittman-Robertson Act passed in 1937.
Yeah, that makes sense, because that's about the time that conservation really got kicked off and got taken seriously.
Yeah, and it says passed in 1937. It is known as a federal aid in the wildlife restoration revenue generated from the excise tax and adoption to the state's wildlife agency to their conservation efforts, hunter education programs, and operations of archery and shooting ranges.
So, yeah, basically, that little tax that's tacked on to all types of hunting equipment is all returned to conservation and getting people into hunting and all sorts of stuff like that.
So that's part of that money is what's going to, like, if you're a local national forest, there's only, I know the Connecticut has one. I believe the Tuskegee has one, which is a open shooting range.
Yeah, there's a lot of WMAs and different types of public land in Alabama. They have shooting ranges.
So that's where the money came from to develop those, for the shooting ranges, for the gun ranges at the national forests, and maybe WMAs.
Yeah. Another thing that you mentioned was, like, restoration of wildlife, which is an interesting topic as far as, like, in the continental 48 states, pretty much everything that's going on here has been, for the last 100 years, has been restoration of wildlife when it was decimated prior to and around the time of the Great Depression. You know, back then, there were no deer, there were no turkeys, there was almost nothing in terms of wildlife. And at least around in the continental U.S., ever since then, we've been trying to rebuild our populations. But then when you look at someplace like Alaska, they've never had a decimation like that. So it's just pretty interesting to see Like up there, all they're doing is maintaining what they never lost, when down here, we're still kind of in the process of rebuilding.
Yeah, and part of that was due to the timber industry and the overhunting that we had back in the day.
Mainly just overhunting, because market hunters and all that.
The population of deer in Alabama, like, was almost extinct at one point. And we may do a little bit more research on that and do a podcast on that. I think I might assign Zach to finding that type of information.
I know, like, the rut in Alabama is, like, the craziest thing, phenomenon in wildlife, because
there's four distinctive ruts in the state of Alabama.
And there's four distinctive ruts, but you can, from opening day of bow season till the last day of rifle season, you can chase the rut throughout the state of Alabama. Yeah. And you can never not hunt the rut if you know what you're doing, know where to go.
Yeah, the only time you're not hunting you can't hunt a peak or a rut in the state of Alabama is like the first few days of hunting season. October 15th.
There's some place in Alabama, I'm pretty sure, that the rut starts.
You can get into some of that pre-rut action. There's a section of Alabama that has a rut in November, so you can get into that pre-rut there. And then the more middle of the state is that December-ish time, and then South Alabama is a January time, into February.
And March and April.
And May, sometimes. That's the reason in the state, that's the reason, like, in our zone, I think our zone B, you can't shoot, you can't shoot does the first 10 days of bow season, because our rut lasts so long that does are still carrying fawns into October the 15th and stuff through our hunting season.
Yeah,
opening hunting season.
Most people talk about spring being the time that fawns are dropping. It's like that in most places, but not in South Alabama.
Yeah, I legit still have, and I'll continue to have, like, as of this date of recording, I still have those that are carrying fawns, and you can see them.
Yeah.
That, like, they're obviously pregnant. And some of them look like they still have a little ways to go. So those are your ones that got probably bred on that third cycle, probably later into turkey season.
Yeah.
That are still carrying.
One of the theories I've heard is, and I guess it's not really a theory, it's more of a law. A lot of times, like, especially around here, how we have a whole lot more does than bucks. If you have a crazy out of whack buck to doe ratio, what's going to happen is when that first rut comes in, the bucks can only reach so many does. And the does that aren't bred, I could be wrong on the numbers, but I think it's like 30 days after, something like that, they come back into cycle if they're not bred.
And then if they're not bred again,
then they come back in.
And I don't think it goes any further than a third cycle.
I think they'll keep going until they get bred.
They may. I don't know.
I'm not sure on that, but I think. I'm not. I don't know.
I know we will have spotted fawns down here into mid and late November.
Yeah.
But I know that this podcast wasn't more of the exact number, in which if you're looking for exact numbers, you're more than likely going to have to do the research yourself. We just try to get that ballpark number on this stuff. Guys, it's really hard finding this type of information. So I just spent tons of time on the internet and gathering as much as information to come up with a close estimate. If anything, my numbers should be low.
Yeah.
But there's one thing for certain, judging off that article, it was 1.8 billion that it totally brought in last year through hunting season.
That's a very successful business.
Yeah.
Very successful.
Yeah, the honey just proves to you how important the hunting industry is to your state's economy. I mean, you can break it down to your own state if you're not from Alabama. In other states, the information may be more available, But we pulled all this information off of that article that I cited in the very beginning. And then the harvest record was, of course, off of Outdoor Alabama's website that we've used that a couple times now. We hope this helps you understand how important hunting is to your state's economy, whether or not you hunt, which I'm sure if you're listening to us talk about this long, you're a hunter and you enjoy hunting and you want to see it grow. So and it's very important that we bring the next generation of hunters into this to keep this going, because it's not just detrimental to the passion of hunting and the time you spend in the woods, but to your state's economy. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all listening to this episode. This is episode number 3 of our 25 Feet High podcast. We are really enjoying doing this, guys. And as we film this, it is after 12 o'clock. So we make a habit of doing this stuff late because we stay busy through most of the day. But like I said, I really appreciate y'all watching. Hey, one thing I would appreciate y'all doing is check out our YouTube channel. If you haven't already, check it out. Give us a like and subscribe on there. Check out a few videos. We got a few cool hunting videos from last year, and then we have a ton of fishing videos for this off season. And now we're getting into scouting. We're doing a few scouting videos here and there. I think, Zach, did you work on one today?
Yeah, I scouted a little bit on the river, some river public land, kayak access type stuff.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool. Hopefully he'll reap some benefit out of that.
I sure hope so.
Next few months or so.
One of my biggest goals, I haven't acted on it, but one of my goals is to kill a deer out there on that public land. It's just a cool environment, so I'd like to do that.
Yeah. So check us out on our YouTube channel. Also check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
Go ahead and subscribe to this podcast, because this one may not have been as entertaining as others that we're going to do, but it's a lot of facts and it's good information. But we are going to be making a lot more of these podcasts, so go ahead and subscribe to this. And if you're on iTunes or anything else that has a review system, go ahead and drop us a 5-star review, whether you liked it or not. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and another thing, the way our service works on uploading these podcasts, if you want to hear these podcasts pretty much the exact day we drop them, go on Spotify. We are on Spotify, and that is our quickest access to the apps, to the podcast, uploading to iTunes and Google and Android take longer. So we are uploading on there, but if you want the quickest access to our podcast, check out Spotify, and or we are on Anchor, if you've ever heard of them, which is a podcasting service. But I really appreciate y'all listening. I almost said watching again. Still used to that YouTube thing. If you haven't already, do all the subscribe and checking out. But remember, get out there and enjoy God's creation. It's just amazing what you can get into and get out there and do. Just thank the Lord every day that we get the opportunity to do this and spend time in the great outdoors. I appreciate y'all listening, and always remember to live life 25 high.